prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Like a battlefield.
There's a battle for the soul of America.
We can't let him tear the kingdom down.
This is no game. This is war.
Flesh and blood. But it's between the bad and good. We can't stop until the trumpet sounds. This is war. Not a game we're playing. This is war.
The only question is, which side will you be on? It's time now for a call to decision with Pastor Butch Paul.
Satan's armies come to kill. This is war.
Hello and welcome, my friends. This is Pastor Butch Paul. It is 13 November 2023. Welcome to tonight's broadcast. You are in for a very interesting program tonight. You're going to hear a true story. What happened to a young man by the name of Jesse Boyd on his way through Montana. But anyway, before we go there, I have some announcements to make, please. We are going to be having Bible study again this weekend. This coming weekend at 10:30 a.m. You can join us in Bible study. Very easily, folks. You can go to PastorButch.com, and down that page, about a third of the way down, you see Rumble. Great big big letters, Rumble. Click on that, and there we will be. From 10:30, 11 at Eastern time, we do prayer requests and praise reports. 11:30, 12:30, of course, is always Christian Worldview News. Very important part of it. And then from 1 to 2, it's a Bible study. So I hope you'll join us this weekend in Bible study. And if you don't have a computer, you can listen on the phone. A lot of you do. At 339-209-5013. 339-209-5013. We want you to join us and come in and share your thoughts with us. We love when people call when we're doing Bible study and different things. That's part of the reason we're there. This is all about glorifying our Father in heaven, folks. I'm only a servant. I appreciate the respect. If I earn respect, I appreciate that. But I don't want to be praised or any way like, and by no means do that, please. I'm only a servant, just as everyone else is. But you'll please come and join us this weekend if you can at all. And prayer tonight for a gentleman named Ken, who's having gout problems. I've had the same issues. I give him some answers to that situation, some ways to help take care of that. But pray for Ken by gout. I've had it, and it hurts very badly, and it truly does. Don't forget our specials for this month. And, folks, I'm surprised. People are actually ordering quite a few of them. We have a couple of them going on. We have the book Quotations to Read and Ponder, a very great book compiled by our dear friend and brother Daryl Eberhardt from Pennsylvania. Huge book on famous people's quotes, and I'm in there, too. I didn't say it's famous. I'm just in there, too. But the regular price is $20.50, so it's still $14.95. Grand Design Exposed. Folks, you've got to see the design behind the, well, beside the tyranny of the Catholic Church to take his country down long before this was a nation. A lot of people don't believe this, but this is a fact. The place that Washington, D.C. sits on used to be called Rome, and the guy that owned the place was named Pope. That book's been on sale here for $10. It's on sale for $7, folks. I have some of them left. I don't want to just see them lay down in a closet and ruin. It's a great book, 400-some pages long. You have to read it to understand it. And the book on One Saved, Always Saved, the regular price $7.50, you'll sell it for $4.50. You can get all three of those, folks. If you want all three of them for $25, $26.45, but we'll say $25 round it off. And then we have together what we call Grab Bike. Different books have written it. I mean, The Witch That Switched. My books, but I have three books that are all put in one volume. I have some separate by volume. They're involved in this also. We have the Elementary Catechism on the Constitution, the Bill of Rights Explained, the Magic of Gun Control, books about hell, all those in this packet, $29.95 for all those. Now, if you order both the books, the ones I mentioned at the top, the number one, the number two, the grab bag, you can get them both for $55. That includes shipping and everything right to your door. I hope you'll get them, folks, but I'm surprised people are getting them. I'm tickled they are, but please get them while you can. We want you to have this material to pass on to your friends and family, all right? And also, we have a new address for the young lady that was arrested for burning down a murder clinic. I didn't say abortion clinic. I said murder clinic. Her name was Lorna Roxanne Green. She's in prison in Oklahoma City. I have her address here, and I will see that Lisa has it by tomorrow. Anyone wants to write and encourage Lorna for her courageous stand, you can have the address, and I'm going to write her this coming Thursday. I wrote her a week before last, and they moved her, so she didn't get the letter, I'm sure. I'm going to write her this Thursday and ask what we can do to help, where can we send funds to help her with her legal defense. But keep Lorna in your prayers. This young lady has more courage and a little finger than most men do in the whole body. So you call tomorrow and get the address from Lisa. You can call her at 800-777-4403. If you can call long distance, you'll save us probably the money if you'll call long distance, if you can. 304-846-4448. 304-846-4448. Drop her a card. Drop her a note. Tell you're praying for her. Do what you can, folks, to encourage someone who's took a stand and is in prison for it. Let's do that together. Now, as I said tonight, our guest's name is Jesse Boyd. Interesting story about Jesse Knight and what he's been through for the past year. How he ended up in trouble with the law for simply trying to witness for Christ across this country on foot, carrying a cross. I'm serious. Before we go to that story, let's bring up Jesse and see. Jesse, are you there?
Good evening, Butch. I am. I'm enjoying this conversation here, sitting on a nice little porch in Central California, and it's about 72 degrees outside.
Oh, you poor, poor thing, you.
I'm on my way to North Carolina, but I took a little break from the drive so you and I could talk tonight.
So, okay, so you're no longer walking, you're driving.
No, we finished up a leg. We finished, we packed things up in eastern Washington, and we're going to head home, and I believe one more leg will complete this journey, and Lord willing, we'll get our feet wet in the Pacific, as we committed to the Lord we would do when we started from the Atlantic back in March of 2021.
Wow, that's a long walk. Before getting that story, though, tell the folks about Jesse Boyd. Who in the world are you? Are you some kind of fanatical nut, or who are you?
Well, brother, I believe there's two types of Christians in America today. You've got your hypocrites, which are the majority of professing Christians, and then you've got your fanatics. You know, genuine Christians by default are fanatics.
That's right.
Or,
that's
you know, right. Bananas for Jesus. When I woke up to the knowledge of my sin at the age of 18 and realized that I was playing games with the Lord, got on my face before Him, confessed my sins, and put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ, His death, burial, and resurrection, I quit being a hypocrite, and that Holy Spirit made me a fanatic. So I'd say I'm a fanatic for Jesus.
Well, the Bible says to be zealous. That's what it says, period. And that's what
Amen.
It means. But tell the folks a little bit about Jesse. I mean, what do you do for a living? Just give us a bit of background.
Well, brother, I'm like you. If folks show me respect, I appreciate it. But I'm really nobody special. Jesus Christ has been very merciful to me. He saved me. I was born in a home where I heard the gospel from godly parents and grew up knowing the truth. And the Lord saved me when I was 18 years old. And very shortly after that, I sensed the Spirit of God calling me to ministry. I surrendered by His grace, and I've been privileged to serve Him with my family. I've been married a little over 26 years. I've got three children, and my family and I have been privileged to serve the Lord on the foreign mission field in more than 40 countries, and to be able to preach the gospel in places that are typically closed and places where we've been able to interact with the persecuted church. So we're just servants, you know, and I have a great love for the Word of God, for printing it, for publishing it, for distributing it in mass, and for sharing Christ both with the Jew first and also with the Gentile. And so the Lord's opened up many doors over the years. I've been involved in Bible translation, Bible printing. I've been involved with Jewish outreach, you know, overseas and also here in the United States. And so I believe very strongly in the New Testament strategies of public preaching and bold evangelism. And I think America needs more street preachers. And I think America needs more hellfire and brimstone warning in our streets, because this nation has turned away from God. And it astounds me to have seen an openness to the gospel in places around the world that you just don't have here anymore. And so we're in a nation that's under judgment. And when a nation like ours turns its back on God, God will open doors in other places, and people of other heathen nations will turn to Him if those that should know better refuse. And so, you know, I'm nobody special. I've been serving the Lord in foreign missions for about 20 years, and have lived in some various places around the world with my wife and children, and have had the privilege of speaking, preaching, teaching God's Word in a variety of languages, and of laboring with believers who face real persecution on a daily basis, at levels we don't see yet here in America, but levels that are definitely coming if things don't change.
Well, you've already experienced some of that, actually, and I know several people have. So you have been basically a full-time minister or evangelist for the last several years?
Yes, I've been involved in full-time ministry basically for the last 10 years full-time, and for the last 20 years I was bivocational. At one time I was involved in web design and some graphic design work, but just found that the responsibilities required me to give my full attention to that. And we are simple people who trust God to provide. I've got a family that supports me, and we've got a local church that supports us. And we just labor as the Lord provides and try to keep things simple. You know, there's far too much in missions and ministry nowadays that's complex and that models itself off of worldly strategy. And it's very important to us to keep things simple, just like the New Testament. And God says in the Bible that, or the Apostle Paul says that God ordained the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe. And so we know that preaching is a God-ordained method, and it's got the power of God because the Word of God says it does. So we value preaching and simplicity. But yes, I mean, we've been involved, like I said, in work in more than 40 countries over the last 20 years. And our children, you know, the birth of our children wasn't something that hampered us. We've traveled and lived in the third world when our children were very small. And we found that the presence of our children actually opened doors in what otherwise might have been closed or dangerous situations. I recall one time traveling with my family overland from Kathmandu, Nepal, all the way to Beijing, China. We traversed the entirety of Tibet.
Wow.
And having my three small children with me at the time actually opened doors. You know, it's very illegal to to be involved in gospel preaching or the dissemination of the Bible or the gospel in Tibet. But having our children with us allowed us to open doors. I remember traveling through villages, and we just tell our kids, hey, just go up to these folks, these elderly folks, and give them a big old hug. And they love to get the hugs from the little blonde-haired, blue-eyed kids, you know, people they'd never seen before. And it would just open up doors to give out gospel tracts and to demonstrate the love of Christ. So we've never seen our children or a family as a barrier to serving Christ on the foreign field. And I think these things can be used of the Lord. And a lot of folks would, you know, desire to serve Christ in difficult situations, and they feel like they can't do it because they have a family, and that's just simply not true. Our lives are proof of that.
So you've been back in the country now for how long working the ministry?
The last time I was overseas was in January and February of 2020. We were getting a young couple set up to live and work in Colombia in South America. A lot of our focus in recent years has been on preaching the gospel to Israelis who travel after they get out of the conscripted military service in Israel. And they tend to travel a lot in South Asia, India, Nepal, the subcontinent, as well as South America. And so we would live in these places where we would have regular contact with these Israeli travelers coming through town in an attempt to talk to them about their Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ of the Bible, and to get the Bible into their hands. So we were setting up a young couple to live and station in Colombia when COVID came, and then all of those doors shut down. The Israelis stopped traveling. Some of the countries where we were working became very closed and locked down. And so we had set things up there in Colombia, and then we just had to break them down and come home. And that door hasn't opened back up since. There's been some political upheaval in the country since COVID. And so we came back to America, and I remember flying home in February of 2020, and for the first time, we started to see people on the airplanes wearing masks, and some of the things start to pop up. And then as those overseas doors closed, you know, I view myself as a missionary who labors without benefit of furlough or retirement. You know, the ministry is a calling. It's not a career. And if God calls you, you're to be faithful as long as you are able. And so I wasn't comfortable just sitting still. Our nation is perishing. It's sinking like a ship in a hurricane off of Cape Hatteras. And, you know, the Lord reminded me of a promise. I won't go into all the detail, but about 20 years ago when I was struggling with God's calling on my life, I came to a place where I had to surrender to the Lord. I wrote some things down in my journal and made a commitment to the Lord. And the Lord reminded me of that in January of 2021, and that translated into the obedience of picking up a cross and walking across America from the Atlantic to the Pacific. And so we started in March of 2021 just as a means of being obedient to the Lord and fulfilling a commitment that was made many years ago with the understanding that when the Lord came calling, I was to obey. And that's what we did. So while the ship is sinking and the overseas doors were closed, we decided it's no time for rest. This is time to preach, because this country of ours is going straight to hell.
Oh, amen to that. At a very, very rapid rate. I'm not owing you, my friend, and I'm going to tell you right now, what I've seen in my lifetime, you wouldn't believe the difference. I could say, I'm telling you, and I know you believe me, but you have a hard time comprehending the things I've seen change in my lifetime. And then this is not necessarily...
You older seasoned saints, brother, I mean, it looks bad from my perspective, but my grandmother's 91. She's followed the world for many years. I'd sit here, I wouldn't be able to believe it, brother, because you all have seen far worse than I have.
And we saw a lot of things that we lost since we were youngins. A lot of things are going away, like every day in school we have prayer. We had Bible study in school now, mind you. We actually could carry guns to school to hunt after school. Those things are all gone now. That's all gone from America. Americana is finished. That's what
it
I grew
is.
Up knowing.
Yes, it is.
It's over with. But now, you had calling to walk from coast to coast, carrying the cross and spreading the gospel. Did you do that by yourself?
Well, I was willing to. It was my burden to bear. But I decided as I was seeking the Lord, I never make decisions like that without seeking godly counsel. And that starts with my helpmeet, which is my wife
of
26 years. And, of course, I think it's very important to seek spiritual counsel from the leadership of your local church. And so I sought those things. And my wife loves Jesus, and I was astounded. When I asked her, I said, you know, Jamie, tell me if I'm crazy. I mean, I believe the Lord wants me to pick up a cross and walk across America. Am I crazy? And she said, no, that's not crazy at all. I think you need to be obedient. So that was the first words that came out of my wife's mouth. And, of course, seeking the Lord, he confirms things through the scriptures. But I had an 18 or a 17-year-old daughter at the time who loves Jesus. She's married now. But she came to me and said, Dad, I really want to do this with you. I want to walk with you. I don't want you to be alone. And how could I deny her? We homeschool our children, and she has always been a good student. And I just told her it was very important that she keep up with her studies. And so my daughter, my 17-year-old daughter, Bethany, who is 19 now, going on 20, she came alongside me, and I thought, this is great. I'll have somebody to walk with me and help with the support vehicle. And so she did. She came alongside. And not long after that, we were having some logistical issues. You know, I didn't like Bethany having to man the support vehicle by herself, and I certainly didn't want her walking by herself. So we just prayed that God would raise somebody up. And we had every intention of sending this young couple who labors with our ministry back to Columbia, but those doors never opened back up. And so my ministry partner, Eric Trent, both him and his wife, we had the privilege of discipling on one of our summer volunteer mission teams that labored with us in India several years before. He came alongside and said, hey, brother, I want to share this burden with you. And so Eric Trent came alongside very early on. And so primarily, it's been him and I, my ministry partner and myself, and my daughter. And we would alternate legs of walking. We started at Cape Hatteras, North Carolina, on March 1st. That's about as far east as you can go out there in the Barrier Islands. And we would walk with the cross. And we would carry a United States flag in distress. The flag code mentions an appropriate time when the Union can be flown upside down. That's when there's a time of distress or extreme danger to life and property. And I believe that there is no greater distress for a nation than when you have a nation who once knows God or once knew God now turning its back upon God. That's real distress. And the danger to life and property isn't from Democrats and communists and politicians and Russians. The danger is from an almighty God, a vengeful God who judges nations.
Amen.
And so we are in a distress. And so we would walk and we would witness Christ and encourage people to humble themselves and repent and turn back to God, whoever the Lord put in our path. And so we'd walk all day. We'd talk to whoever we crossed paths with. And when we would end the day's walk, we would go right back to the very spot we stopped walking the following day and walk a continuous route. And so we've been doing that since March of 2021. We would go out and walk long legs. We'd come home for a break to refresh ourselves. I mean, maybe if I were my daughter's age, I'd be fine, but I'm in my late 40s. I mean, I can only walk so many miles when I've got to give these old knees of mine a rest. And so that's what we've been doing. And we had literally a year ago yesterday.
Oh, I want to ask you a question. That's a quick question. How are you received overall cross country?
Well, I've got to be honest with you, Butch. I didn't know what to expect. We started in the heart of all of the COVID craziness. And I kind of wondered if people would even talk to me. We wanted to walk down rural roads. We wanted to walk on streets where people lived and to engage people in neighborhoods or in small towns on their own turf, roads where people would be more apt to stop and talk to you. But I feared that no one would talk to me because I was a stranger. Everybody I thought was scared of COVID. And so I kind of wondered what would happen. And I was surprised. It kind of revealed some things about what's going on in the mind of the average American. First, one thing that has stood out to me is over all of the 6,500 miles we've walked and the thousands of encounters we've had with people, I could probably count on one hand the number of people who denied that America is in trouble.
Really?
And so wide spectrum of people, white and black, Native American, rich, poor, people with Trump signs in their front yard, people with Biden signs in their front yard, just a whole slew of different people. And almost everybody would agree that I've talked to that America's in trouble. So that's a good thing, brother. It's a more dangerous place to be when the people, like Israel in the Old Testament, at ease in days of unrighteousness. If the majority of people thought there was no problem, that's a bad place to be. So I've been encouraged by that. And then secondly, the fears about interacting with people, whether or not they would interact with me because of the COVID madness, they never materialized. In fact, people would talk to me. They would shake my hand. I can maybe remember two people along the entire route that actually had a mask on and kept it on as we talked on the side of a road. And so what that told me is that most folks weren't afraid of a sickness per se. They were following these protocols, not because they were trying to protect themselves, but because they didn't want to catch any flack, or they didn't want to seem different or stick out in the crowd. Because when it came to talking to a walking preacher that they'd never met in their lives, I found people to be willing to have conversations. You know, I'm just an old Southern preacher. You know, I try to be polite to folks. I was raised to say yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am, yes, sir, and no, sir. My kids were raised that way, to extend the right hand and give a good firm handshake and to be friendly to folks. And I just went about my business as I normally do. And I found that people, even in the height of COVID, would shake a preacher's hand, would talk to him, and wouldn't act like anything was different. And that was encouraging. And that just tells me that when you can engage people on their own turf or in their own Jerusalem, you know, there are people, I mean, we get this idea that everybody just believes all of this stuff.
Hang on through the break. Hang on through the break. Don't lose that thought, okay? Don't lose that thought. Folks, back at the break.
I want to
talk about and your phone calls at 844-769-2944. Wait till you hear what happened in the great state of Montana. Don't go away.
Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Hi, folks. Pastor Butch Paul here. I'm certain that I don't need to tell y'all we're living in unstable times, or as the Bible says, perilous times. We're starting to see shortages of many products in America, cars, clothing, furniture, and even food. We can't do much about the cars, clothing, and furniture, but we can with the food, simply by calling Demanda Foods, the best unstable foods bar none. They have a shelf life over 25 years, are great tasting, no GMOs, no chemical preservatives, no aspartame or high fructose corn syrup, and no MSGs. Give Demanda a call at 888-597-0775. That's 888-597-0775. Or go to Nemana.com. Mention the Pastor Butch sent you and get a 10% discount. That's 888-597-0775. You'll be glad you did.
Are you paying an arm and a leg for a healthy alternative lifestyle? Are you tired of products not meeting your expectations? Is it becoming harder for you to have faith in restoring your body to the temple it began as? I know your struggle is real, and I'd be honored to help you and those you care about feel better and thrive. with organic ingredients and no fillers made right here in our own country, many of which are wild-crafted right here in the mountains of Montana, we at Superior Mountain Herbs are blessed to be able to get you the best herbal products with no hassles or misleading information. Truth and transparency is what you get with us. For a free list of products available to hear this month's special as well, please call Summer at 406-274-7579 or email me at green with an E at the end, assistantsummer@gmail.com. That's green with an E at the end, assistantsummer@gmail.com.
There's a lot of talk all over the internet these days about the remarkable benefits of carbon 60, and baby boomers are especially excited about it. Whatever generation you're in, if you want more energy, better health, and a boost in vitality, we invite you to try Gresca's Carbon 60, a stunning development in free radical destruction. Being much smaller in size than conventional antioxidants derived from fruits and vegetables, it is far more bioavailable to quickly mend the toxin-crippled cells in your body. Gresca's Carbon 60 is the only C60 product that is made without the use of undesirable solvents. The only one. Gresca's Carbon 60 was developed by a brilliant NASA carbon scientist, and 95% report positive results from this Nobel Prize-winning technology in just 4 days. Visit C-60.com. That's C-60.com or call 720-600-6040.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
This is war, not a game we're playing. This is a war. Hear me what I'm saying. Pick up your sword and shield. Get on the battlefield. Satan's armies come to kill. This is war.
Alrighty, folks, we're back. Again, we're talking to Jesse Boyd, a young preacher from North Carolina that was out walking across the country carrying a cross and sharing the gospel of Christ, and got all the way to Montana before he ran anything very seriously that would hamper his trip. And by the way, was there any heckling along the way? Anybody driving by give you a hard time at all? Or most people just respectful and didn't say anything?
Well, we had a little bit of heckling here and there, brother. You know, people would shout something out the window, turn your flag right side up, or go home, or get a job. You know, nothing that we're unaccustomed to. I mean, that's par for the course if you're going to be out sharing the gospel. So nothing serious. You know, most people were friendly. A lot of people were curious. But we didn't have any incidents. We had a lot of interaction with law enforcement. They'd see us out on a country road and want to make sure we were okay. Lots of conversations with law enforcement, and no problems. I mean, we were actually shocked because of the temperature in which we live, all the division and anger in this country. You would expect to see more persecution, per se, but we were blessed, at least for the first 5,543 miles.
Boy, that's a mouthful. 5,000. Wow. But so I just, with all this traveling, overall, you would say the trip was at least 90% peaceful, then, at least?
I'd say 99.9%.
Now, okay. All right. You can't be that. That's wonderful. And kind of shocking, to tell you the truth. That's wonderful. So you got into Montana. And the Big Sky Country, where everybody says that you can go live free and all these things happening there. At what What happened in Montana? Take us right from the beginning and tell us what happened.
Well, I could sum it up pretty easily, brother, without going into a lot of detail. We had walked 5,543 miles across 17 states, 210 counties, without any incident. And it was one particular afternoon, November 12th. We'd been walking all day. It was very cold, hovered between 10 and 18 degrees Fahrenheit. It was windy, and it was getting dark early, so we were trying to finish up for the day. We had already walked probably, I'd say, 12 to 13 miles. I was finishing up a leg with my ministry partner, Eric. My daughter's fiance, who is her husband now, Carter Phillips, had driven across America. He had gotten off work, and he had brought my 12-year-old son with him. And they came out to walk with us a few days in November before we packed up to return home for the holidays.
And what a cold state to walk across in November. For goodness gracious.
I know. We were trying to get through the end of the week and go home. And my son-in-law wanted to come out because he had periodically taken off of work in Missouri to walk with us and to walk with my daughter. But he specifically wanted to come out and propose to my daughter on the side of the highway before we finished up.
Okay.
And so he had a ring in his pocket, and then my son really wanted to take a road trip with his Uncle Carter. And so they came out and joined us. So we were, my ministry partner and myself, and my son would walk a leg, and then Bethany, my daughter, and Carter, her husband, would walk a leg. And he had a ring in his pocket, and so he was going to propose to her that afternoon. And so we had walked up. They had parked the support vehicle on a public easement in the middle of nowhere at the junction of a dirt road and a U.S. highway, and they waited for us to arrive and sat there about 45 minutes. And as we arrived, I handed the cross to Carter. Eric handed the flag to Bethany, and we prepared to move the vehicle up the road about 3 miles to give him an opportunity to propose, and we were going to call it quits for the day and go back to the cabin where we were staying. And as this was happening, an individual drove up from the opposite direction. We had never seen him in our life. We didn't know who he was. We had not had any encounters that day other than one individual who rolled a window down and mocked us a little bit. We suspect that he might have been involved somehow, this individual. But this guy shows up, and long story short, he pulled his truck up very angry. He told us that our kind wasn't welcome in Montana. And when I tried to reason with him, he got out of the truck very violently and attempted to attack me on the side of the road, standing beside my 12-year-old son. And so I did what any father would do in that situation, what the law in Montana allowed me to do, and what diffused the situation and prevented him from physically assaulting us or shooting us or stabbing us. I had no way of knowing whether he had a weapon or not. I drew a gun on him. And I told him we didn't want any trouble, that I had kids out here, and that he needed to get back in his vehicle and leave us alone, that we were leaving, we weren't staying, and we wanted no trouble. And that wasn't good enough for him. He calmed down a little bit, and being a preacher, you always want to try to witness to somebody. And sometimes people get mad, and then you can reason with them, and they calm down. You can tell them about Jesus. So in good faith, he calmed down a little bit on the side of the road. He got out of his vehicle. He crossed the road to engage me and my children in a threatening manner. But when I drew the gun on him, he stopped dead in his tracks. And I tried to engage him when he calmed down. I, in good faith, put the gun away, thinking that it had done its job, and handed it off to my partner. My partner put it in the vehicle, and as soon as the gun...
A quick question, Jesse.
Yes.
This just popped my mind. In a lot of states you cross country, you couldn't carry a gun. How'd you get by with that in places like Illinois and Indiana, places like that?
Well, we try to be. I carry a concealed carry permit from the state of North Carolina. I've been licensed to carry concealed in my home state for many years, and I do my research, brother. In Illinois, for example, I'm not allowed to carry concealed. They don't recognize my license. However, because I have a concealed carry, I can keep a firearm in the car. So when we were in Illinois, I didn't carry it on me. But we knew that Montana was a was a constitutional carry state. Montana was also a stand your ground state. And in Montana, you're allowed to draw or present a firearm if somebody threatens you. I mean, the laws on the books there are very clear. It's a very Second Amendment-friendly state on paper. And so because I love Jesus, brother, I don't have a hair trigger. In my state of North Carolina, there are three sacred areas, your home, your business, and your car. And if somebody threatens you or attempts to enter or engage you in those three areas, you're allowed by law to shoot to kill.
Absolutely.
Whether or not they have a gun or not. Yes. And so in my state, legally, I could have shot him dead when he got out of the car, threatening us and crossing a road to engage him. But I love Jesus. No, I don't have a hair trigger.
He says threatening you. What was he saying to you?
He said, your kind ain't welcome in Montana. And he used a lot of foul language, and he talked about how you people think you can walk wherever you want to walk, park wherever you want to park, and you're not welcome here. And I tried to tell him that I didn't want any trouble, and I didn't appreciate him using such foul language in front of my children. And when I told him that, he said, I'll show you, you know, which is a pretty clear threat. And he reached for something. I couldn't see it. He got out of his vehicle, and he crossed a road in a very threatening manner. So I'm in the middle of nowhere, brother. I'm in a state where almost everybody we had engaged that day had a firearm. This guy's very angry. He says, your kind ain't welcome here. I'm assuming that means Christians, because my skin color was the same as his skin color. And I took that to be a very serious threat, especially when I had two of my children in my presence.
Of course.
But like I said, I love Jesus, so I don't have a hair trigger, and I made a terrible mistake. I put the gun away thinking I could reason with him, and when I did that, brother, he physically attacked me. And when he physically attacked me, he punched me in the face, he tackled me to the ground. At that point, my ministry partner, my daughter, and her husband, who was her fiancé at the time, my daughter put my son in the car because he was scared to death, and they came to my aid and did what they had to do to pull him off. I was down in the snow. He was attempting to punch me multiple times, and the four of us were able to get this big, angry man off of me, and I was able to get out from under him. And my friend had him subdued and told him that we didn't want to hurt him. We had warned him multiple times that we would protect ourselves and that we didn't want any trouble. And he came after us. And then he tried to tackle my friend to the ground. And so we were able to extricate ourselves. At that time, two trucks drove up. He talked about how the cowboys were here and that we were going to pay for this. And I saw three individuals show up on the scene that I hadn't seen. They got out of the vehicles. They said they were going to kill us. It was a very dangerous situation. And so we were able to get out of there. I couldn't. My phone had no service.
Did these two guys know this? These two truckload people, did they know this guy?
Oh, I'm assuming they did, because they acted like they knew him. When they drove up, he said to us, the cowboys are here. Now you're going to pay. And there were three individuals. And so he bragged about knowing the local sheriff and the sheriff's deputies. And he said that, I am friends with the sheriff. You guys are going to pay. You're not wanted here. And so, you know, we got off down the road. I called. I thought the right thing to do was call 911 and report the situation, because it was a very dangerous situation. We were in the middle of nowhere, no tree cover, no side roads. We could have been gunned down like dogs out there. And so, you know, long story short, I reported the incident to 911. We offered to, we shared our location. We offered to cooperate. We knew we had acted within accordance with the law, but law enforcement showed up without any investigation, and they swatted us. They pulled us out. They had us exit our vehicles with guns drawn on us. They brought my 12-year-old son out, made him kneel down in the snow while guns were pointed at him. They detained us. They cuffed us. They put us in different vehicles. And within a short amount of time, they hauled four of us off to jail, and they took my 12-year-old son away from me and stuck him in CPS custody while they stood on the side of the road and mocked us for being Christians.
How was your daughter and her fiance and your son? How were they holding up through all this?
Well, we were all astounded. We couldn't believe what was happening. And I could tell when those cops showed up, it became very clear that they knew this guy. And when he bragged about knowing the sheriff, we knew he was telling the truth. And the way they engaged us, we knew that they were looking for a reason. If I would have reached behind my back, brother, to scratch an itch, they would have filled me full of bullet holes on the side of that road. That's the type of cops we were dealing with, looking for a reason to shoot some Christians out there on the side of the road. And that might sound like hyperbole. That might sound like an exaggeration. But, brother, I speak as someone that has labored for the gospel in closed countries with crooked and corrupt cops, communist police. I've engaged the crookedest of the crooked. I know what it looks like. I've never had any trouble. None of us have ever been in any trouble. I haven't had a traffic ticket in over 20 years. And
there was no discussion. They didn't talk to you all about anything, or
they asked us. They separated us all. They asked us a few questions. We answered it. We all told them the same story. And it was pretty cut and dry. Some stranger threatened us. He attacked me in the presence of my children. We responded to protect ourselves. We did it with restraint. And we don't want any trouble. We don't even know who he is. We just want to be able to safely walk through the area. And so it astounded me when, after no investigation whatsoever, they hauled us off to jail and mocked us. You know, one of the officers had such a foul mouth. He says, mockingly, while they laugh, "The family that walks across America together gets to go to jail together." And then they laughed at us. And so,
Keep in mind, people, this is the law talking here.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Yes. And one of those officers, brother, he used the F word so many times. I mean, he used it more times than Obama or Hillary Clinton did, you know, when the camera wasn't looking at them.
Right,
and I mean,
right.
It was just unbelievable to me. And that a man is in trouble for acting with restraint to protect his children from a maniac that was unprovoked. And all of a sudden, we, the Christians, were the criminals. So, brother, it was very clear very early on that all of this was about the cross. This was about the cross. We had been seen walking. We were targeted, and we were pulled off those streets. That happened here in America in a red state, Montana, where a man on paper is protected when it comes to defending himself, because the laws on paper are pretty clear. And it happened in a state with a Republican sheriff, and in a county with a Republican sheriff, in a state with a Republican governor and a Republican attorney general who has been very zealous in trying to prosecute us since this hate crime took place a year ago.
I'm going to tell you right now, Republicans are Republicans by name only more. They're no more. There's not much difference between that and Democrat. But now, so you went to, all of you went to jail except for your son. He went into CPS services, but y'all went to jail, right?
Yes, we spent four or five days in jail. I spent 20 hours, 20 out of 24 hours I was in solitary confinement.
And what was the charge?
They originally charged four of us with aggravated felony assault. Brother, how do you assault somebody when they're the ones who attack you?
Well, that's a good question. So I know we're going to run out of time so quickly here. Give us a quick synopsis of what happened. What went on from there?
Well, we spent 4 days in jail. It was taken before a judge. The county attorney in that county lied before a judge, accused us of being vagabonds and homeless, talked about us having people threaten this man. I mean, it was fairy tale stuff. We didn't even know who this person was, brother. We didn't know his name. We had no idea if he lived nearby at the time. And so the judge gave us each $50,000 bonds, and we were forced to wear ankle monitors. Eventually, another judge allowed those to be removed in January. But thankfully, we were able to get bonded out. We had to come up with $20,000 just to get out of jail, and we're able to go back to North Carolina. It's been a year. The charges are still there. Those charges have been changed. Now there are four of us charged with felony assault with a weapon. I don't know how I can assault somebody with a weapon when Montana law says that you can draw or present a firearm if somebody threatens you.
Well, now, how can four of you?
It's a crazy thing.
How can four people assault one man when you only have one gun?
I don't know. Well, Carter had a cross in his hand. Bethany had a flag in her hand, so they're calling those weapons. Eric didn't have anything in his hand, so I don't know how he's guilty of assault with a weapon. They've called his charge assault with a weapon with accountability, which is, I don't even know what that is. You know,
How long was he in CPS?
My son Josiah was in CPS until my wife could fly out from North Carolina. So he was in CPS about 4 days.
And how were y'all treated, all of you? How were you treated in prison?
In jail, I have to say it was in another county because the county in which this happened didn't have a jail, so they sent us to different jails in different counties. I was treated respectfully. In fact, that night, one of the guards had been briefed on what had happened, and he told me it was terrible, and he felt so sorry for what had happened to me. So, I mean, even some people, I guess, in that jail, I don't know what information they knew, knew something was not on the up and up.
Okay.
And so I don't know to this day, brother, what was going on. If you wanted me to guess, this is the only thing that makes sense to me, why we would be targeted and so zealously prosecuted where no guns were discharged. We were able to protect ourselves and weren't injured. He wasn't injured. In the melee, he got a bloody nose because he tackled me to the ground and was trying to punch me multiple times, and I kicked him in the face to get him off of me. So, yeah, he got a bloody nose. I've seen worse bloody noses on playground. But, you know, a man that attacks a father in the presence of his children really is lucky to be alive.
I get that,
so
right?
We showed...
So I don't. We're down to the last 5 minutes already. This has been so interesting. Very quick, let's take one quick phone call. Tom in Georgia, you got about 30 seconds. Come on in, hurry.
Pastor, the same thing has happened to me. I had a whisper campaign go out against me. I believe it was because of Georgia Power and me warning people about the smart meters. But it lasted for 3 or 4 years, and finally I had a gun charged against me, and I got put in jail for it, and my reputation has been destroyed and everything. It was a systematic charge at me, and there was nothing I could do. There was nobody I could talk to. You know, I empathize big time with this guy who you're interviewing, Mr. Boyd. I'm sorry, but this has happened to me. And there's, where do you go? I mean, you know, when you try to tell people what's going on, where do you go to? Who do you say happening? Well, they don't say you're crazy. You need counseling.
Well, that's true. And I jumped, Tom. A good call, and thanks for sharing that. Thank you. Now, and by the way, Jesse is in touch with Liberty Counsel right now. I pray they'll take the case, folks. Pray they will take the case. So very quickly, you got out. You come home with $20,000 bond. That's been about a year ago. What's happened since then? You got about 2 minutes. Got to hurry.
Well, I'll go quick, Butch. We went back out in May. We restarted our walk from the very spot it was sabotaged. We had about 100 people show up in support. We had Christians from North Carolina, Mississippi, some other places, a lot of folks from Montana walked with us. We walked a giant loop around Madison County, and we walked 900 miles in Montana, and we ended up packing up in Washington State just a few days ago. So since this happened, we've walked 1,000 miles from the spot this took place. We didn't have a single problem. We witnessed to a lot of people in Montana, Idaho, and Washington, and it just proves that we are peaceful people. Amen. None of us have ever been in trouble. We're peaceful people. We're Christians, but we will protect ourselves. We will protect our families, and I am willing to die to protect my family. So Amen. We did nothing wrong, Amen. Brother. There's no apologies ever going to come from our mouths.
Amen.
We did nothing wrong. We were obedient to God. And if they want to prosecute us, you know, hey, I look at it this way. The day I gave my heart to Jesus Christ, the day I was born again, my reputation where the world is concerned was soiled. So I can accept that. I don't care what the world thinks. I care what Jesus Christ and the body of Christ thinks. And we're going to keep serving him. We don't fear these tyrants. We will fight this to the end. And, you know, if it happened again tomorrow, brother, I would act in precisely the same manner with the same level of restraint and mercy. And I would do it in such a way as to not bring reproach on the name of Christ. And that's
Amen.
The way we acted that day. And I'm so thankful for a daughter and a son-in-law and a partner in ministry who come to my aid when I'm in danger.
And your son's okay, right? He's okay.
Yes, he is. He's out here with me now. He flew out across America by himself a few days ago so he could walk a day with me and ride back to North Carolina with me.
Give him a shake his hand for and tell him we said thanks. But now, very quickly, we're down about the last 2 minutes here or less. So the trial still hasn't come to trial yet, so this is still pending.
Yes, it's been a year. We've not had a trial. You know, what happened to, I thought we had a right to a speedy trial. There is no date scheduled. We have a status hearing on the 20th, but we don't have any attorneys. And so I do find it interesting that the Attorney General of the state of Montana is on record with the court saying that the single most important issue in this case is whether draw or present a weapon means you can point a weapon. So at the end of it all, it's all about semantics with these people. And when you're targeting Christians, it's going to be about semantics. When I look up present in a Webster's dictionary, it says to point a weapon. So at the end of it all, their whole argument is, well, you could draw or present a weapon, but you're not allowed to point one.
That's a bunch of bull.
Well, it just proves what we've known to be true all along. It's all about the cross.
It truly is. It's a witness. You heard him with the witness. Brother Jesse, I'll be in touch with you again real soon. I really will. I want to know more about this. But thanks for joining us tonight. And you give your daughter and son-in-law a hug from us and tell them we're proud of them and honored to be on your team.
I'll do that, brother. Thank you for caring about our situation. I'm honored. And look, at the end of the day, as John the Baptist said, he must increase. The Lord Jesus Christ
Amen.
Must increase. I must decrease. To him be the glory. To him
Amen.
Be the glory. And we're going to keep preaching him.
God bless, Jesse. I'll talk to you soon, my friend, folks. What can I say? Powerful broadcast. Love you. We'll see you tomorrow night with Wild Bill Finley. Y'all be sure and join us. Good night.
Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSCTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at DGScoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.